We read this morning from Paul's letter to the Philippians, this fourth chapter, beginning with the second verse. Listen for the word of God. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, and if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. This is God's living word for God's living people. Thanks be to God. Hey, what's on your thoughts right now? What are you thinking about? I'll give you a penny for your thoughts. I won't even take it out of the hunger offering this morning. Although I'm sure that your thoughts are worth a lot more than a penny, I also know that we can be very casual about our thoughts. Often we don't follow Paul's encouragement to zealously guard what we think about. Most of the time, we just sort of let thoughts slide into our minds and slip out again. We just let our minds wander, and we don't monitor them all that closely. About 45, 50 years ago or so, when the computer revolution was really getting up steam, the pioneers in the field coined a brand new word, gigo. You see, in the olden days, not too many people knew how to operate a computer. People had to know programming, and we didn't have all the slick programs and apps that we have now. So understandably, people made a lot of mistakes. Sometimes people entered the wrong data, only to discover a universal truth, that what you put into a computer determines what comes out. And if you put the right data in, helpful answers will come out. And if you put bad data in, well, good things didn't happen. In order to express that truth, a new word was coined, and that word was gigo, G-I-G-O. And it stands for garbage in, garbage out. Those four letters summarize a huge truth about computers. What you put in is going to determine what you get out. And if your input is garbage, guess what your output's going to be? Garbage. And what is true of silicon computers is also true of the human mind. The comparison is apt because people have been described as human biocomputers. In fact, the human mind is far more complex than the most advanced computer ever designed. As complex as computers are today, as powerful as they are, Dr. Gerhard Dirks, who holds over 50 patents on IBM computers, says, even today, if we could invent a computer that would duplicate the capabilities of a human brain, it would take the structure the size of the Empire State Building just to house it. Our brains average about 3 pounds. They carry about 12 billion cells, each of which connect to 10,000 other brain cells, totaling about 120 billion brain connections. Scientists estimate that the average person, as you've heard many times, uses only about 10% of their mind's capabilities during their entire lifetime, which means that most people will die with about 10 to 11 billion brain cells still unused. I'm saving mine for a special occasion. But I hope that gives you some appreciation for the innate equipment that God has given to each one of us. Every mind, your mind, is very powerful. But the basic principle of garbage in, garbage out holds true. What we put into our minds is going to determine what is thought upon, what is programmed, what is compounded there, and what eventually comes out. It applies to silicon-based computers. It applies to human beings as well. All of this is to say that what we think, what we believe, matters. Coca-Cola and Pepsi know this. Ford, Chrysler, and GM know this. Victoria's Secrets and Land's End know this. And that's why major corporations and politicians spend billions of dollars trying to influence our attitudes, our perceptions, and our thinking. Because what we think on repeatedly shapes what we most deeply believe. And we act upon what we most deeply believe. Millennia ago, the Apostle Paul encouraged us with these beautiful words, "Beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things." They were beautiful words, but Paul knew he had to direct people to the higher realms because what he was seeing in those early churches that he had started, what he saw there was far different. He found people arguing over who was the most spiritually righteous. He found people coming early to the Lord's table and eating everything that was there on the table that was meant for the community, leaving nothing for people who had to work later. He found bitterness, he found envy, he found spiritual pride, he found contentiousness and divisiveness. And in our passage today, he even begins by urging Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. "Think on these things," he thundered, and he lifted up those things worthy of praise. So, a penny for your thoughts. Honestly, I'd pay you far more if you've set your mind on whatever is true or honorable or just or pure or commendable or worthy of praise. I say that because, like Paul, that's often not what I find. Now, I know that there are saints among us this morning. I know it. There are people who, in my eyes, it just seems as if their souls are bathed in light. But often when people seek me out, it's to speak of the anger that they have towards someone. Or resentments that they just cannot seem to get over, or pain that they cannot forgive, or bitterness on which they stew day and night. It is as if at some point they dwelt on these thoughts, these predispositions, so long, so hard that they programmed their thinking so thoroughly that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ cannot break through. What we think, what we allow ourselves to think, matters. This insight is not new. The Apostle Paul knew it. "Think on these things," he wrote, because he knew that we shape ourselves in the image of what we set our minds and our hearts on. King Solomon knew it more than 3,000 years ago in Proverbs 23. Solomon said, "For as you think in your heart, so you shall be." The ancient Greeks knew this. They had a formula that I just love. They said, plant a thought, reap an action. Plant an action, reap a habit. Plant a habit, reap a character. Plant a character, reap a destiny. All from one thought. It starts with one specific thought that we plant, we cultivate. We grow. Now, unlike those popular Capital One credit card campaign commercials today, I'm not going to ask you what's in your wallet, but I am vitally interested in what you have allowed in your minds and in your hearts. Think on this. Just think for a moment. Really. Take a deep breath and really look inside yourself. Reflect. That's a wonderful word. Hold a mirror up to yourself. What do you allow in your heart? What do you allow in your mind? Because we do have choices about these things. Now imagine that all of your actions and inclinations spring from one specific thought that somehow you have planted right at the heart of your very being. In reflection, what would that thought at your very heart be? Now, I know if you're earnest about this, you may need to go home and think on this, and that's fine. Please do that. But what I hope for you and what I covet for you is that this one specific thought at the heart of your being would be that of Jesus Christ, would be that of the one who is the very image of God, the unsurpassable revelation of God, the one on whom we are to pattern our lives. Plant a thought. Develop a habit. Plant a thought. Build a character. And one day, reap a destiny. Let that thought be of Jesus Christ. The average person has 10,000 separate thoughts a day. That works out to be about 3.5 million thoughts a year. If you live to be 75, you'll have over 262 billion different thoughts. Already this morning, whether you've noticed it or not, well, maybe this should apply more to an 11 a.m. crew, I don't know, but you probably had about 2,000 thoughts this morning since you got out of bed. And I hope that you've noticed them. I hope you've had some good ones, some noble ones, some praiseworthy ones, not just the, honey, if you don't hurry, we're going to be late for church thoughts. You're going to have at least another 8,000 thoughts through the course of this day. Every one of those 10,000 thoughts represents a choice that you make, a decision to think about this and not think about that. What are you going to set your mind on? How are you going to invest your thoughts? Are you going to waste them by letting others tell you what to think or how you should look or feel or vote? Or will you squander those precious and powerful thoughts by being angry or holding a grudge? Or will you use them to get even to somebody who has hurt you? Will you throw your thoughts away by being touchy on things and correcting and blaming others? Garbage in, garbage out. Are you casually thinking about how long the worship service is going to be or how long-winded Reverend Haller is? Will you throw your thoughts into, what do others think of me? Will they like me? About now, maybe about 2,200 separate thoughts this morning. How did you direct them? Or did they just direct you? Think on these things, for as you think, so you shall become. The Apostle Paul has a word for us this morning. He's telling us that our thoughts are important. They are how we program ourselves to live. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Beware of what you set your mind on, because that you will surely become." Norman Vincent Peale said, "The greatest discovery of my generation is that human beings can alter their lives by altering their attitudes of mind." Henry Ford put a different spin on it when he declared, "Thinking is the hardest work in the world," which is probably why so few people do it. So here's our situation. We may be suffering spiritually because we come to church for 1 hour, and then we spend most of the other 167 hours of the week cramming our minds with shallow things, or mean-spirited, or unworthy, or unchristlike thoughts. And it may be that you and I simply fill our minds with spiritual junk all week. And if so, we'd better not think that an hour on Sunday is going to be our cure. That's only going to happen when we decide to change our thinking. And we can do that. Garbage in, garbage out. Well, we understand that, but wouldn't it be better if we practiced wisdom in, wisdom out? Or perhaps our intent should be excellence in, excellence out, or charity and love in. So charity and love will be what comes out of us. As you think, as you intend, as you program yourself, so you shall be. What then shall we do? Well, think on these very basic things. First, I'd encourage you to analyze your output. Watch your thoughts. Just watch them. Don't judge them. Just watch them. A Zen aphorism, an ancient one, says, "The mind is like a drunken monkey." And that is just sound observation, friends. You know what a monkey is like, just swinging from one thing to another, unfocused, maybe getting ready to spit on someone walking by their cage in the zoo. So you can imagine what a drunken monkey is like. They're all the same things, except a little more obnoxious. Our minds, when left unexamined, undisciplined, or just like that, jumping all over the place, unable to separate ourselves from what we see or feel or hear, or becoming endlessly distracted. So watch your thoughts. By watching them, you slow them down. It's the basic tool that we have to slow down our thinking and gain control over it. Don't dwell on lesser things. That's like watering weeds in the garden of our minds. Don't hold on to uncharitable thoughts. Just let the less worthy ones go. See them, let them go. And they will leave you. And as you do, there will be more room for the positive presence of God. And secondly, I'd encourage you to change your diet. What is the diet of our thoughts? It's what we give our minds to digest. What music do you listen to, or what movies and videos do you watch, or what books do you read, or what's on your iPod, or what shows do you watch on TV, or what conversations do you engage in at school or at work, or what are your secret habits, what are your daydreams? The point is, check out what you have decided to feed your mind and your heart, because at some point, at some time, you did make a decision about it. If you begin to watch what garbage you may be putting into yourself, you'll see it for what it is. And believe me, there is something inside of you that will begin to hunger for a better way. Once you become aware of what you're feeding yourself, then determine, choose to change your diet. Begin by reading a little scripture day by day. There are wonderful Bible study plans to help you read through the Bible. Why, you can even get computer programs to give you daily readings. And as you input different things, you'll get different thoughts. You'll think different things, better things, more excellent things. And as a spiritual being who is on a spiritual journey, you will begin to mature. There's no age limit on this, by the way. Whether you're in elementary school or middle school, high school, or you're a grandparent, a retiree, you can change. Take inventory of where you're at, because there's still time to change the road that you're on. Third, seek the help of others. I just love two of the questions that were asked in John Wesley's early covenant groups. The first was, what sin did you commit in thought, word, or deed this past week? And the second was, what is there in your life that you would prefer to keep secret? How's that for keeping yourself honest? Imagine covenanting with a group of like-minded people to be honest about the sins you've committed or the things in your life that you prefer to keep secret. If you truly want to change your life, though, find a friend who will hold you accountable. Or create a small covenant discipleship group. We can show you how. We need people to move us beyond where we are, to hold up a mirror to us, to challenge who we are, and hold before us the image of where we want to be. The crucial insight is simply that we need each other. We need each other. We are members together in the person of Jesus Christ. When we're nurturing a child into maturity in Christ, as we promise to do in baptism, it takes a church, a community of believers who are teaching and caring and praying and guiding and providing Christian fellowship together. And when we're engaged in a new ministry initiative or a building project or a debt reduction project, these responsibilities don't fall just to one or two people. It calls for us to be the church. The church together, which was called into being on Pentecost, which we celebrate today. We need the help of others in order to change, to grow, to have support, but also to have a word of exhortation spoken to us in order to strive for God's kingdom. So watch your thoughts, change your diet, and then invite and seek the help of others. And this brings us back to where we started. As a person thinks in his or her heart, so they shall be. What you think today, you will become tomorrow. So if you think angry thoughts, angry words are sure to follow. And if you fill your minds with sexual fantasies, you'll want to fulfill those desires. And if you obsess about your problems, they will overwhelm you. If you give in to worry, anxiety will wear you down. If you focus on despair, you'll chase faith and hope away. If you focus on how others misunderstand you, you will soon become angry and bitter. What goes in comes out. Your thoughts translate into reality. You're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. So if you focus on the truth, you will speak the truth. If you look on noble things, nobility will mark your life. If you focus on God's presence, you will perceive God everywhere. If you think on pure things, maybe you'll become pure. And if you plant love in your heart, you'll become just about the most beautiful person in the world, no matter what the world says about your outer appearance. And here's one more very basic, simple programming move if you want to elevate your thinking, your intentions, your purposes, your motives. Think on Jesus Christ. It's not going to hurt you. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the portraits of Christ that you find there. And if you have one of those old red letter Bibles which are becoming popular again, well, just read the words of Jesus because they're the words that are in red. And think about what you read. Think about it. I'm not asking you to accept everything uncritically. Think about what Jesus says, and then watch what happens. Before you know it, you may decide to change. You may find a change coming upon you. For excellence in, excellence out. And what a marvel this is, that from a wretched Roman prison, Paul is encouraging us to simple sanity. Outward circumstance cannot defeat him because he has shaped his inmost being into that of Jesus Christ. Paul is calling us to have within ourselves that beautiful mind which was in Christ Jesus our Lord, who though he was of God, emptied himself and became a servant of us all. Beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So what do you think? I'm willing to give you a penny for your thoughts, but I trust there are going to be much, much, much more of worth than a penny. May we pray. Ever gracious, compassionate, and forgiving God, help us by the power of your Spirit to remake ourselves into the new creations that you wish us to be. Gift us again with your Holy Spirit and mold us as one into the body of Christ, the church. Help us to be masters of ourselves, our thoughts, our intentions, and actions, so that we may be servants of others through Christ our Lord.